Welcome to A Girl's Eye View, where women share their personal experiences navigating the world of flight training and beyond. We're offering a fresh perspective on aviation with plenty of laughs, real talk, and the occasional, I can't believe I did that moment. Tune in for a fun, honest look at aviation from our point of view. I'm your host, Pam, with my co-hosts Rachel and Jen. Now, let's look at things from A Girl's Eye View.
Welcome back, y'all. Now that I have my voice back, it's my turn to do an ASOD. And after literally agonizing about what to talk about, I got the okay to share more about the story I mentioned in episode 1 of season 2, where I talk about waiting for the emergency vehicles to arrive at the airport before we were allowed to land. So I can kind of go into detail a little bit more and explain a little bit more about what happened and the aftermath, which wasn't really that extensive, but it's kind of a good learning opportunity, I think. So we'll get right into it here. About a month after I passed my private pilot check ride, a friend from the airport and I decided to do a cross country. I did a lot of cross country flying after I got my PPL. We would fly to dinner, we would go, you know, all over and just go, just to be able to go because we had access to the airplanes because I was working at the flight school at the time. And it was nice. It was really nice to just be able to say, I'm going to take an airplane and go do this. So this friend and I went, it was her airplane, her family's airplane, and we decided to do a cross country. The airplane that we were flying was a Piper Arrow, which is a complex aircraft, which means that it has retractable landing gear, a constant speed propeller, and flaps. That's what makes an airplane complex. So at this point, I didn't really have any time in a complex aircraft. I had just gotten my private. I had so many hours in a single engine Cessna 172. So this was a little different, not crazy different. It was still single engine, but I was a high wing pilot and now I was going to fly a low wing and I was like, this is going to be weird. So this friend and I went and got in the plane. Did our run-up, everything was fine. We take off, we head to the other airport, very uneventful flight. She was doing radios, I was doing the flying, and she was kind of walking me through. She was working on her CFI stuff at that point. That was where she was kind of headed with her aviation journey. So she was kind of walking me through like the differences between the airplane that I normally fly and the Aero. And we were just talking, we had a good time. So we get to our cross-country airport and I'm gonna do the landing, which is a very uneventful landing. I had like 900 landings at the time. It was just a slightly different profile for the airplane because it was a low wing. So I was like, okay, I'm freaked out a little, but I'm going to do it. It's going to be fine. We do the landing. And as we're rolling out to the end of the runway to taxi back to take off, the gear and transit light comes on. And the nose wheel light that indicates that the landing gear is down turns off. So the thing to note on an aircraft with landing gear is that there are indicator lights that show that the gear is down and locked in place. And there's a light that comes on and flashes when it is in transit. Or I don't remember if it flashes. There's a light that comes on when it's in transit. So that you know it's in transit. And then that in transit light turns off when everything clicks into place. This is important because we do the landing. Everything's fine. Great. As we are taking off to come back, literally, as we're doing the rollout to take off to come back, about to rotate and lift off, the gear and transit light turns on and the nose wheel light turns off. Now, we are still on the ground, but we're at the point where it is no longer safe to abort the takeoff. So we take off and head back to our home airport. Figured if we have to land without a nose gear, it makes sense to do it at our home airport as opposed to 50 plus nautical miles away, easily to get to. So it made the most sense for us to take off, keep going with the takeoff, not turn around and land at this other airport and go back to our home airport. So the entire flight back, my friend is doing all the things that she's been taught to try to make sure that the gear is down and you can like rock the plane and all that stuff. And every single time we recycle the landing gear and all that, the main gears indicate that they're on. The nose gear light stays off and the gear and transit light stays on. Now, the entire time back, we're 99% sure that it's a sensor issue with the nose gear. It is not actually an issue with the nose gear. However, we can't see outside the plane, right? So we do the flight back and to about 10 miles from our home airport, we reach out to ATC, like we're supposed to, and say, hey, coming in, can you take a peek? Can we do a flyby? Can you take a peek at the landing gear and before we land? It's important to note, to an extent anyway, that this friend was on very good terms with the air traffic controllers at our home airport, particularly the controller that was working that night. And I'm sure that they would have done this for anyone, but I think because it was so late in the day, the tower closes at 9. It was almost 8 when we got back, I think. So they weren't very busy. So they were very, very accommodating, and they were able to do that for us. So we did our low approach, and we went by the tower. And the air traffic controller says, well, it's not dangling. They're also not able to say definitively, you're fine, all three gears are down, because they don't really know either. They can see that it's in place, but they don't know if it's locked in place. They don't know if there's going to be an issue when we touch down. So for liability reasons, and it makes sense, they can't actually say, oh, you're good to go. And I get that. So she asked us to do another loop. So we went around, and she looked either with or without her binoculars. I think the first time she had her binoculars, but the second time she didn't. She said the same thing. She said, it looks like it's there, but can't confirm. I don't know if it's locked in place. I don't know what's going on. And this is what we were kind of expecting, because we assumed that it was a sensor issue, not an actual landing gear issue. I say we. It was my friend. This was the aircraft she flew the most. She knew it very well. Her father is a mechanic, so she was in contact with him while we were flying. This is kind of what we figured was going on. So my friend says, okay, well, I'm just going to do the softest soft field I've ever done, and we're going to land. And Tower says, need you to circle while we wait for the trucks. My friend and I looked at each other and went, oh no. And then had to circle the airport repeatedly and just watch all of the fire trucks and emergency vehicles from all over this part of this town right outside of Atlanta converge on the airport, knowing that they're there for us and they probably don't need to be. And so I'm doing the fly. My friend is still checking in with her dad, and everybody, like, we were checking. She was texting everybody while we were in the pattern to see if there was anything else that we could do while we were still in the air. And then the tower gives us the okay. Says emergency vehicles are standing by. Clear to land. 2-5. And we said, clear to land. And we did indeed do a very soft field landing. A soft field landing. I think we've talked about it, but a soft field landing is you come in, mains touch. You come in as slow as you can, and your mains touch, and you hold off the nose wheel as long as you can until you've dissipated some of your speed so that it doesn't just thunk kind of under the ground. It is more of a controlled kind of thing. And that's so that you don't, in theory, you don't sink into like mud or dirt or whatever if you're landing on like a grass strip or whatever. So friend does the landing. All three gears are down. We have no problems. We taxi back. The emergency vehicles leave. The folks at the FBO, the field-based operation there that have like the fuel and all of the jet center and stuff, came out, made sure we were okay. They brought lollipops. Her family arrived to make sure that, you know, everything was fine, and her dad wanted to take a look at the airplane. As far as emergencies go, it was the best emergency we could have had, because it was more of a precaution as opposed to a reaction, which was good. But the takeaway, one, so what happened eventually is that because we did not actually declare an emergency, but the tower essentially declared an emergency on our behalf when they called the emergency vehicles. So the FAA reached out to the aircraft owner and the flight school. You know, it did end up being that sensor, and that sensor had just was not in the right spot. So it wasn't indicating correctly that the gear was down when the gear was down. And it meant that the gear and transit light stayed on because the sensor wasn't picking up that the gear's down. So the airplane thought that the things were moving, and they weren't. So once the sensor was fixed, everything was fine. There were no issues. And like I said, as far as emergency goes, it's honestly the best type of emergency to have, in that there really wasn't an emergency, but it made me realize that it is very much how you react to situations is kind of how you revert to your training and what you know. So my friend was very, very comfortable in this aircraft. This was the plane that she flew almost exclusively. She very rarely flew any of the other flight school planes. So she was very comfortable and knew what that airplane could do, would do. She was very familiar with it. And that doesn't, like, not familiar to the point where you neglect any of the other things that you need to know, but it's like when you drive your car. If your car starts to make a weird noise, you're like, oh, that's a weird noise. And you know, because it's your car, you're in there every day. Same thing with her in this airplane. So the biggest takeaways, don't panic. I know that's so easy to say sitting at a desk talking into a microphone, but don't panic. If you feel like you haven't spent as much time on your emergency procedures as you think you should or you think you ought, making a plan to review your emergency procedures every flight doesn't have to be every emergency procedure. Let's say you fly weekends, right? You fly every Saturday, Sunday, as long as the weather's good. Pick an emergency procedure to do on each of your flights. It doesn't have to be every, you don't have to sit there for a half hour and do all of them. But let's say you haven't practiced your emergency approach to land. While you're out there, while you're just flying around doing your thing, practice it. Practice it. Emergency descents, practice those. Stay proficient on your short field and your soft field landings. Because you never know. You never know. There's a saying in general aviation, it's not if you'll have an emergency, it's when. And preparedness is something that we, general aviation in general, could be better about. I know a lot of the people that I've talked to, flight instructors excluded, because they practice all of these emergency procedures with their students. But I think outside of a flight instruction environment and your flight review every 2 years, I don't think we spend enough time on emergency procedures as a whole. So I think coming up with a plan to practice those and stay current can only help you. And yeah, okay, it may not be fun. I get it. It's like changing the battery in your smoke alarm. You don't think about it until you need to do it. And then you just do it and it takes no time at all, right? And then you're done. And then you're safe for the next, what, life of the battery? Same idea. This is a preventative measure so that should you find yourself, not should, when you find yourself with some sort of incident, you have the tools and the training to be able to keep yourself safe. All that to say, not necessarily the most exciting story, but when you're a brand new private pilot, it was a wild experience. And I'm grateful to have had it with someone who was as competent as this particular friend. I mean, as far as emergencies goes, I would have an emergency with this friend anytime. I mean, it worked out in our favor. She's very competent. She knows what she's doing. She's a great pilot. It definitely could have been significantly worse. And I'm very grateful that it wasn't. And I'm grateful that we were fine and that the tower was so attentive and we were able to do what we needed to do. But I'm also grateful that it reinforced the idea that I need to be more aware of how much I'm practicing my emergency procedures. I guess ultimately, we got a fun story, but also I'm going to tell you that you need to go out and do your emergency stuff when you go fly next time. There's also here's a shameless plug for the Wings program. They do a lot of, and the Air Safety Institute, they do a lot of safety seminar type things. Some of them are in person, some of them are via Zoom or whatever, but they've been very, very interesting. Generally, the couple that I've been to, they have picked an incident or an accident, and they've kind of walked you through, and it's usually something that's been, the NTSB has already concluded so that you kind of know what happened and they can walk you through like a solution, as it were, or like a preventative. And there's tons of resources and stuff on YouTube and podcasts and stuff that talk about various other accidents and incidents and what you can do. The takeaway, because I don't want to talk your ear off, but I definitely don't want to get preachy, is that you should practice your emergency procedures. And I guess that's kind of it. Next time we'll talk about something that's a little bit more fun, like my 900 and something landings before my private check ride. But I feel like this was a good start. Plus, you get a fun story. We very much appreciate everybody taking the time to listen to us. It's kind of crazy and I kind of love it. I hope you guys do too. And I hope that if you have any feedback, we love feedback. We love all of that. So please reach out and let us know if you have suggestions. If you have an emergency story you want me to talk about, or an event or something, let me know. You can reach us at our email. It is podchat@agirlseyeview.com. And we will see you next time.
As a reminder, the views and opinions shared during this podcast are those of the hosts alone. We do not represent the views of the FAA, our flight schools, or our employers. This podcast is purely for entertainment. We are not qualified flight instructors. We are just here to share our experiences.